Will kissed her on the cheek and turned to lug the bags into the kitchen, whistling as he went. Lee watched him go, struck for the 100th time at the change that had come over him since the day in Denver. It had taken her a little while to understand, but the truth was that she'd never really seen Will happy before they got to the Republic. Lee crossed the house to the room she had turned into her office, a small space with an ocean view. She sat down at her desk, flipped open the laptop, and pulled up her current work in progress, the story she had been planning since Reimer had first told her she would be interviewing the Oracle. It had evolved into a fairly long piece of work, really a narrative describing everything she knew about Will and what he'd done. It could be the foundation for a book if she thought it was something she'd ever want to publish. She scrolled through the document to the end and reread the last section she'd written. It was an account of the first few days after the Denver broadcast, the details of their journey to the Coral Republic, a 5-day ordeal that left commercial airports behind on the second day, and ended with a ferry over from Kalupalu in a leaky motorboat piloted by a wrinkled old walnut of a man. Lee was thinking about cutting it. It wasn't that interesting, although she supposed it was important from a historical perspective. There were a few good bits, though. For one, after the coach had dropped them off back at the cabin in Feldspar Creek so they could make good their escape from the United States, she'd asked Will if he was really sure that the 23-12-4 numbers would be the result of the Kondustan vote. 80% sure, Will had answered. We'll know soon enough. Lee had laughed, but she was pretty sure what Will had said wasn't funny at all. He ended up being right, of course. The Oracle's predictions always came true. Turukul got his mosque back, although he didn't keep it for very long. President Green spearheaded a multinational military effort that captured the warlord, an action which, incidentally, looked to have won him a second term, cancer or no cancer. Most of that had happened while she and Will were on their way to the Coral Republic. Will knew by the time their boat hit the beach that he was right about the numbers. And from that moment, it was like he'd shed a 200-pound suit of armor he'd been wearing as long as she'd known him. He'd done one last thing before, as far as she knew, retiring the Oracle forever. One last update to the site. He'd removed all the predictions and the email address, leaving only the phrase, "This is not all I know." And then he added one word. Behave. Lee reached the blank section of the page where she was planning to write her conclusions. It was a good story. Strong, almost beautiful. But it wouldn't be finished until she tried to put down in black and white what she thought it all meant. Music wafted into the room. Just idle noodling on a guitar. But good. Very good. A lot of that recently. She'd begun to wonder if that's why the site had chosen Will in the first place. A musician, used to improvisation, able to hear the tune in what it was doing, even if just on a subconscious level. Lee leaned back in her chair, turning her head. She could just see Will sitting in an armchair, with an open laptop on an ottoman in front of him, and a guitar on his lap. A smiling, captivated infant was visible on the screen, being held up by two hands around her midsection, the hands somewhat darker than the baby's light caramel skin. Hamza and Miko had named her Wilhelmina. Lee smiled. She put her hands to the keys and began to type. It has been 4 months since the Oracle averted a nuclear catastrophe that would at the very least have destroyed the city and people of Uth, and could quite possibly have consumed the world. The Oracle effect has ushered in a new era of compromise. People of all nations seem to feel that we came closer to the brink of destruction than ever before, and a global statement of purpose has been issued. Never again. Mankind has stepped away from hostility in favor of understanding. Or, more likely, Humanity's leaders are terrified that the Oracle will make good on the implied threat in this final update to the site, and issue new predictions that will drastically rearrange the world in whatever direction he sees fit. And so, they behave. Either way. But in the end, who and why? Who sent the predictions to the Oracle? And why did they try to achieve their goals in this particular way? We know the predictions were sent by someone with a unique viewpoint. Someone able to see problems humankind would suffer in the years to come, with a desire to help us avoid them. That's the who. That person, that entity, chose Will Dando as its instrument of change. It plucked him from an ordinary life and thrust him into an extraordinary one. He suffered through pain and uncertainty the likes of which the rest of us can barely comprehend. Beyond that, we know nothing at all, which leaves us with the why. The site could have given Will its entire scheme, step by step, right from the start. It didn't. Its plan depended completely on the fact that the Oracle, paradoxically, didn't know what was going to happen. He had to navigate the same way any of us do in our lives, with free will. He wasn't a puppet. He was never under anyone's control. Every decision he made along the way was his, made using whatever skill and knowledge he had amassed in his life, in the hope that he was doing the right thing. Each of those decisions was, at its heart, a gamble. But he kept making them. He could have surrendered, let the site do whatever it was going to do. He didn't. He fought every step of the way, trying to move his own life, and in the end, all our lives, in a better direction. In the end, he succeeded. I believe that may be the why. Fate, destiny, they're myths. We are the sum of our choices. Choose well.
Lee stopped typing. She read over the text, and for the first time in many attempts at ending the Oracle story, she didn't hit the delete key. Notes from Will's guitar drifted through the air. She stood, turned from her desk, and walked toward the music. If it turned out that she did have more to say, well, there was always tomorrow.
This is Charlie Thurston. We hope you've enjoyed this unabridged production of The Oracle Year, a novel by Charles Soule. This program is produced by John Marshall Media. Executive producer, Suzanne Mitchell. Text copyright 2018 by Charles Soule. Production copyright 2018 by HarperCollins Publishers. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.